welcome to another episode of Offsides, your one-stop shop for everything NFL and NHL. With the Super Bowl season wrapped up, or Super Bowl week, I should say, NFL season's officially closed, kind of some moves going on. One big one that's been kind of trending the last couple weeks going into the end of the season, Brian Flores getting fired from Miami. The text messages getting leaked between him and Bill Belichick, that whole thing of racial discrimination, of him not getting an equal opportunity for a coaching position. He does eventually land as a Steelers defensive assistant and linebackers coach. As we know, with how good the NFL is at sweeping things under the rug eventually, do you think now that he has a coaching position that his lawsuit will kind of die down? And I mean, it's still going to be a thing, like the lawsuit's still going to take place, but now that he has a coaching position, it's going to not going to get as much of attention.
I mean, I'd like to be hopeful to think that Brian Flores already making as much noise as he has already, and with a couple other people as well joining the countersuit, I think he stays persistent on this. I think he talks about it every week, press game conferences. He's already shown that he's willing to sacrifice his career for the better good of hoping that this has an impact. So I don't think that this is going to quiet him at all. As far as coming from the NFL side, I'm sure they're going to try to, like you said, sweep it under the rug, kind of keep it quiet, but I don't think it's going to be.
Yeah, because like I said, like the way I look at it from the NFL side is, oh, they did their due diligence. They got him a coaching spot.
They can check the box now.
Yeah, they can check the box. All right, keep quiet. We got you a spot. Even though, I mean, he was a head coach at Miami. He was applying for head coach positions, and he ends up as a defensive assistant and linebackers coach, which is pretty low on the totem pole compared to other positions he could have got. I mean, a coordinator, assistant head coach, quarterbacks coach, like there's, I mean, at least five or six positions ahead of where he landed.
Yeah, but also you have to think about it as well as, could this be Mike Tomlin saving his career? As far as giving him the, because basically how we see coaching offensive coordinator, those jobs, you got to get the okay, the nod from somebody to say, okay, we'll give you the pass for it. So amid all this, him going to the Steelers, getting the credibility from Tomlin to be like, all right, he's back into the coaching cycle following this whole offseason. I almost look at this like how Alabama takes coaches who are fired, people who've lost their position, brings them on for low paying jobs, and they're considered analysts. They're not even really coaches, and they're making league minimum just to get the okay from Saban to get back into the loop. I think this is kind of the same situation we're seeing here, as it's almost, I don't know, I want to say, don't want to say too big of like a job for him to like come in and take that, but like admit everything that's going on. I feel like giving him a small role to let him focus on that being the majority of what's going on is the right thing for this whole thing to do, and hope he wins.
Yeah. Like I said, I mean, the lawsuit's going to go through no matter what. It's just a matter of if we're going to hear about it enough to figure out what happens. Cause even like with the whole Deshaun Watson thing, that was headlines every single day for a couple months, and then that died down. And I think last week, one of our last episodes, we talked about, couldn't tell you where it's at, how many suits he has done, how many, like how close he is to getting back into the league. Like obviously, like, I mean, I'm sure there's articles and like there's stuff getting posted about it every day, but as far as mainstream media of the ESPN's like Sports Center, everything, like all the stuff that we see as like the main news doesn't really talk about him anymore. I guess I'm just kind of comparing this situation to that, as far as now that he's in back into the league, does it kind of turn into a Deshaun Watson situation where it just doesn't get really talked about? But obviously, I think this, I mean, both situations are kind of heavy hitters, but yeah, I mean, this situation is just as severe as the Deshaun Watson one. So hopefully it gets the same attention.
Yeah, and speaking of Deshaun Watson, he just released a couple of days ago his three destinations that he would like to go. Tampa being the first, Vikings being the second, and Denver being the third destination. And Houston is now in works of getting deals done to get him moved. Because tying into my next question here, Lovie Smith just coming out, new head coach of the Houston Texans, stating that their team is only a few key moves away from having a potential season like the Cincinnati Bengals had this year. Do you see that as a possibility? And what do you think their record finishes roughly next year? Like, do they make the playoffs?
I mean, I could see them improving just because they kind of were figuring out a couple pieces here and there, like Davis Mills, rookie quarterback. He showed some promising moments throughout the season. So if they roll with him, I think that they can get some good year two, that year two jump out of him. As far as a jump like the Bengals, I don't. Obviously, he said, like, the key word there is he says we're a few key moves away. Okay, yeah, going out and getting probably 3 to 5 household names in a couple different positions across your team might get you there. But, I mean, even still, they're, like, their defense, I couldn't tell you a single person on that defense right now. It's been such a revolving door. Like, I know a couple guys who used to be on that team that are on other teams now, but I mean, on the offensive side, they have a couple guys, but like you look at the Bengals, they had, I mean, 3 to 5 all pro guys on both sides of the ball. Arguably, I don't know how many all pros they ended up having, but just as far, or I should say all pro bowl level guys on both sides of the ball. The Texans, Deshaun Watson would be the only one, but they're not going to have him. So I think that the Texans, again, a few key moves, yeah, so long as they're like big heavy hitters. Like if you're going after a linebacker, a top three linebacker in a free agency, oh, we need a receiver, okay, the first or second best receiver on the market. Like you have to go for these top-notch guys to be able to have that Bengals effect. Otherwise, no, I don't think – I'm going to say either way that they don't kind of have a Bengals-like season because Bengals made it to the Super Bowl, and I don't see the Texans having a chance to make it to the Super Bowl, and I don't think they make the playoffs either. Kind of a record sticking out. I'm going to say like – 5-12, 6-11. So a little bit of an improvement from last year, but nothing that's going to get them to the playoffs, I don't think.
Yeah, as far as I'm going to say they could have a Bengals type season, as not obviously getting to the Super Bowl. I'm not comparing it to that way, but going from the previous years of having 2 wins, 4 wins, 5 wins to turning it around and actually being a relevant team. I think they finish in the middle of the pack. I don't see them too far off. I could see them even getting 7, 8, 9 wins. This team lost a handful of one score games where they lost right at the end of regulation. And they did beat a couple really top notch teams, including the Titans and the Bills this season. So, yeah, I mean, I see Lovie taking this team in the direction where it needs to go. And obviously, moving to Deshaun Watson is going to get them a pretty good return for whichever team is going to be willing to get them. And that's the first, I feel, stepping stone and heading in the right direction. So I feel like Houston Texans fans have something good to look forward to this coming season. I feel like it's going to be a step in the right direction, not the wrong one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't see them going down. Like I said, the kind of the foundation that they built, as far as the quarterback, that's where every team kind of needs to start as far as a foundation of where your team's looking to go in the next couple of years. I mean, look at the Giants. I would have guessed, if you asked me preseason, with Daniel Jones at quarterback, where are these guys going to go? Either backwards or equal to where they were the year before. And that's exactly what happened the last couple of years. They never took a step forward. Either they got back to the same spot or they took a step back. The Texans, again, like you said, I can see them definitely going forward. But yeah, I mean, unless they make a couple moves this offseason, like 5 to 8 guys that are top 5, top 10 in their position and bring them in, if they even have that kind of cap space or have enough collateral of draft picks and guys to give up to go get good vets, I don't even know if that's on the table for them to get that many people. But I mean, I'd say they need to at least get like 5 well-known guys to that team. Anything less than that, I don't think it's going to be enough of a difference.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be interesting, especially if they get Deshaun Watson off their books. They'll have $57 million in free cap. That's a lot of money.
Yeah.
You can bring in, like you said, a lot of top guys with that. And who's your quarterback? I feel like is going to be the most important thing here. Mills has shown some promise. Davis Mills has shown some promise that he can play. Now he's going to get a chance to be the starter full season, not have to worry about what's going on, unless they obviously make a move this offseason. But this will be the first season where we can really get to see what he's got now, getting a full season's reps as QB1. Because he looked pretty good.
Yeah, I can almost see them bringing in like an older vet quarterback, not one that they're going to have bring in for a quarterback battle, but somebody to kind of mentor him. Just another set of eyes and ears to listen to kind of help him, like help him progress a little faster. I'm trying to think like I'm sure they wouldn't move him, but like a Brian Hoyer from the Patriots or a Blaine Gabbert from Tampa, like one of those guys who have been in the league 5 to 10 years as a backup that know, like that have done enough to stay on an NFL roster. But like I said, to just kind of help Davis Mills along his way. But then if shit hits the fan, okay, we have a guy who's been in the league 7, 8, 10 years who might be able to win us games in the meantime.
Kirk Cousins?
From sources I've seen, Vikings.
Like if Deshaun Watson, ends up getting traded to Minnesota.
Well, yeah, then Kirk Cousins would be moved. But like I said, from sources I've seen, they're not planning on moving him. Just because Deshaun Watson says he wants to go to Minnesota, Minnesota can tell him to kick rocks and they're fine where they're at.
Right. I'm just seeing, just thinking from the perspective of Minnesota bringing in a new coach in the last year of Kirk Cousins' deal. He wants a long-term deal. They have yet to extend him one during the course of this whole entire season. I don't see them re-upping on him. I see them moving him rather than signing him to another 4-year, 5-year deal.
Yeah, it's kind of a prove yourself kind of year. If they can get back to the playoffs and make a run, okay, we'll give you your 3-4 million or 3-4 year deal, make you one of the top paid quarterbacks, probably not the top paid, because he got a deal once that made him the top paid, and then that's kind of when he took his decline a bit. But yeah, they get back to the playoffs, they have a good season. All right, we'll keep you. If they have an equal or worse year than last year, then yeah, they get rid of him. But
because yeah, he told Minnesota that he's unwilling to take a pay cut after they asked him to, and he said he wants at least $40 million a year minimum. He's not taking no less than that.
So, yeah, that put him – because I know there's a handful of guys over 40. So, yeah, like if they give him 40, you know, Mahomes is over 40. Prescott, I think, is over 40 when they re-signed him to his deal last year, 2 years ago, whatever that was.
Mahomes, Allen, Prescott are 3 that are currently over just for this next season. But then it jumps way up as far as past the season. Then you have Deshaun Watson in there, Russell Wilson in there, Jared Goff in there, Kirk Cousins, Well, this is his last year. He's making 33 this year. Yeah, Matt Stafford's last year. There's a lot, because especially with the salaries going up too, like he's pushing to set like the market for the new vet QB.
Yeah.
And I don't see that happen.
Yeah, like I see like 35 to like 38. Like I could see him, like he's making 33 now. I can see him jumping up a little bit just with last year or 2 years ago was okay. This past year was decent. I mean, he was in the MVP conversation for a couple weeks and he was playing really well. But again, just kind of his decline, end of Washington. And like, I think his first year in Minnesota wasn't great. And it's been like a slow uphill climb since then. But yeah, I don't think he's worth $40 million. So if he's
like firm Lamar on that, gets $2 million a year.
Who?
Lamar Jackson.
Oh, right now.
Yeah. Tyrod Taylor, he gets 5. Baker's only getting 8. Like asking for 40 is a lot. Stafford's only getting 25.
Yeah.
And he just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you shoot high and work down from there. If they take the 40, great. If they don't.
I'm just saying, I don't think that they're going to. And, like, he's going to get moved is what I'm saying. Before they re-sign him, unless, fuck. I mean, last year he was trending up. Obviously, I had him in the MVP conversation for a long time until towards the end of the year. If he could have another one of those seasons, I guess maybe he does prove that he's worth it to them. But look at the team built around him. That defense needs some work, especially now that they lose their defensive wizard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, on the offensive side, they have all pro guys at every level, pretty much. Jefferson, I can't remember who their tight end, Conklin, decent tight end, not like top five, but like not, I put him in the top half of the league. And obviously Delvin Cook, Adam Thielen, like they got guys, the offensive line, even, maybe that is how you say his name, if I'm thinking of the right guy. They got a couple guys on the offensive line who are decent too. So yeah, their offense is good. But yeah, like you said, their defensive side, they have a couple guys still that like they've had there for a long time, but they need some help on the defensive side. And like you said, with Zimmer gone now, I don't remember what the coach they brought in, what was his former role?
Todd Clements? Or no, the Vikings? He's the offensive coordinator for the Rams.
Okay. Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, so like, I mean, you bring in him, maybe their offense, they bake on their offense being a top five offense this coming year to carry them, which is possible. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do. Yeah, as far as I know, like sources I've seen, Cousins is in his last year. So I feel like he's earned his respect to at least see out his last year. But obviously, for the right price, I mean, if any quarterback who you think is equal or better that you can get for cheaper, I mean, any team's going to take that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sounds good then. Moving over to the ice here then. NHL season, again, inching closer and closer to the playoffs. My first question here for you, 4 straight losses, Nashville, kind of leaving the door open in the Central as Dallas now sits just 4 points back. And even Winnipeg sits 8 points back with a game in hand. So with that game made up, so long as it's a win, 6 points. Kind of looking at just the West in general with how tight the Central is getting. And then also on the other side, what 2 teams do you see locking up the 2 wild cards in the Western Conference this year? Because looking at the East, it's kind of every week it's looking more and more wrapped up, but the West seems like it's getting tighter and tighter.
I think that Dallas leapfrogs Nashville. I think I mentioned that a couple weeks ago when we brought up talking about Dallas. I see them hitting a surge now that they're getting healthy. 6-4 over their last 10, so +2 in that category. So that they're climbing the ranks as some of the other teams in their division have fallen. Like you said, the Predators on a 4-game losing streak. And then I see the Kings from the Pacific holding down that other wild card spot. They've been a solid team. They're coming along very steadily right now. And yeah, it's kind of become a crapshoot in the whole entire West as Colorado's literally running away with it all. And I, something remarkable up until last week after their start on the year, when they started 4-5, they went 33-3 over their next 36 games, which is insane. And yeah, look what they're doing. And they're about to get back healthy here. But yeah, that's who I think is going to take home the wild card. Dallas, I think, gets it, and the Kings.
Yeah. And looking at the Pacific too, I mean, the other half of the West, that's tightening up as well with how Edmonton put themselves back in the mix. The Kings kind of turned things around. I mean, every team aside from the Sharks and Kraken have 5 wins or more in their last 10 games. So as long as you're staying above that 5 mark, you're playing decent hockey. And obviously Calgary on top right now, but not 9 win streak there. They could kind of run away with it too here, as they have a 2-point lead and 3 games in hand over Vegas. So that'll be interesting to see if Vegas can kind of keep it closer, if Calgary is going to kind of turn into Colorado and run away in the Pacific. But as far as the wild card, again, with how tight it's getting in the Central with Nashville losing games, Edmonton putting themselves in the mix. I mean, really looking at the Pacific, you can go all the way down to Vancouver, 52 points. And then Edmonton is at 59, tied with LA, both at 50 games apiece. So, just 7 points back, only 1 more game played. So it's not devastating. I mean, out of the Pacific, there's still 3 teams, Kings, Ducks, Canucks, that kind of still have a shot for that wild card. And then, yeah, on the other side, if Nashville continues to slip, I agree with you, Dallas kind of jumping into that 4th spot and taking that there. I don't know. As far as the 2 teams I see coming out of the West, I'm kind of waiting for the Ducks to go on another surge like they did, was it roughly a month ago, where they were on the top of the Pacific, I think, at one point for a couple weeks, playing really good hockey. I don't know. I'm just waiting for Edmonton to kind of hit a slump again, just because – and what we talked about, I think it was last week, the next 3 games coming up is going to kind of leave that door open at the Lightning, Panthers, and Hurricanes to finish the month. So they lose those 3 games. And then the Ducks, Canucks, Kings win 2, or if not all 3 of their next 3 games. They're basically, that's 4 teams within 3-4 points of each other. Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna say the Kings, or I'm gonna say Edmonton ends up with a wild card spot, just because, like I said, I feel like they're gonna hit a slump again. The coaching change, Evander Kane, like, yeah, it's all fine and dandy, but I think that they have more overlying issues with that team than just getting that little surge with those couple changes. So I think the Kings end up jumping to that 3rd spot. Edmonton ends up taking a wild card spot, and the Ducks. So I'm going to say that no West teams end up with a wild card. It's going to be LA and, or no, Anaheim and Edmonton with both of the West wild card spots. Just because, I mean, yeah, we talked about Dallas last week or whatever, and the chain, like getting healthy, and do they need to make some moves, things like that. They're kind of like, they haven't really made a ton of ground. Like they've been, they're four points back right now? Yeah. With a game in hand. So tech two, I guess. But again, they're in the fifth spot in the West. So, I mean, you could be in the fifth spot and still end up with a wild card. But then, like I said, looking at the Pacific, I just think that they've been playing more consistent as far as like the Kings, the Ducks, with how they started the season. If they can get back to that, I think that they'd end up higher points than Dallas. So, yeah, Edmonton and Anaheim with the two wild card spots.
Yeah, sounds good. And then sticking with Edmonton, as they're continuing to climb now in the market to bring in Marc-Andre Fleury to their lineup, do you see them continuing to close the gap? And do you think that they pass Vegas by the end of the season? I see honestly Vegas as being one of the wild card teams, as they're on the brink of falling apart right now.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the Pacific is that division where, like I said, you could go all the way down to Vancouver and, like, I mean, Calgary, so long as they keep their trend, that number one spot's locked up.
But they're going to take home the number one.
Yeah. But two through five is, it's a coin flip right now between the rest of those teams in the Pacific. like you said, Vegas with their cap issues of having to move some space to bring in Eichel. It's kind of putting all their eggs in one basket on him for him to come in and kind of save their season and keep them relevant enough to, one, keep a playoff spot, and two, can they even make it out of the first round? I don't know. So your question was if Edmonton would pass Vegas?
Yep. Do they finish ahead of Vegas by the end of the year?
I mean, what I was saying with how I think Edmonton drops into a wild card spot, I think Vegas does enough to stay ahead of them. Again, it's all going to bank on the productivity they're going to get out of Eichel.
And he's so far they're 1-2 in his games. They got blank their first game. They lost, and then he just had 2 points yesterday. So he's got 2 points in three games.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like anytime you're off the ice for that long, it's going to be a little bit of a slow start, especially when you're two-thirds of the way through the season now, jumping into this kind of a hockey season where I feel like it's going to take you a week or two to catch back up a little bit with the game speed. But, yeah, I give it another week or two with Vegas to kind of figure out, like, if Eichel gets hot, he's contributing. Obviously, he's not a huge goal scorer for them because, as you mentioned, only 2 points. Were they both assists, or did he have a goal?
He's got one goal, and he's actually has 3 points. I looked against the Kings. He had an assist in that game as well. So he has 3 points in three games.
Okay.
One goal, two assists.
Yeah, I mean – Pulling up their schedule, I guess, kind of a good indication of how you said that they're on the brink of falling apart. They play the Coyotes. So that's a game where if you show any signs of struggle, I mean, after that, you finish with the Avalanche. And then you do have kind of an easy stretch to start March. But, yeah, I mean, I give it at least another week or two to kind of see if Eichel is going to help – move that team back in the right direction. Otherwise, yeah, I could see definitely see Vegas falling out, and either ending up with a wild card or missing the playoffs entirely, just because, like I said, of the teams below, kind of the potential they showed to start the year, both at halfway point, they've kind of hit a little bit of a plateau with the Ducks, Kings, right on the brink of, I mean, they each of them went on 5+ win streaks, I feel like, at one point, and they were both at the top of the Pacific. So they have the potential to do it again. So, yeah, I could see, I mean, Edmonton, I guess, technically passing, but both falling out of the top. So Edmonton ending up with a wild card, and Vegas either ending up with the second wild card, maybe, or missing the playoffs entirely, depending on Vegas, or not Vegas, LA and Anaheim, how they do. But, yeah, as far as Edmonton, again, another team where if they go 0-3 the next 3 games against the top teams in the league right now, that's leaving the door wide open for the other teams in the Pacific to catch them and pass them.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be a sprint to the finish, that's for sure, at least in the West half, because the East is pretty much all but wrapped up almost. At this point, there's really only
– Yeah, there's –
There's literally the only team that has a chance, Columbus, is going to have to do something insane. In Detroit, I mean, if they get lucky and can go on some type of run, that's their only chance. But they're currently the closest, being 10 points out of the playoffs right now, as the top 8 teams are set in that whole conference. So yeah, the West is going to be interesting. Outside of, you basically have one guaranteed team, the Avalanche, because at this point in the season, the worst that they could finish is with a wild card spot. So
yeah, and then like Calgary too, they're obviously set up perfectly to run away with it in Pacific, 3 games in hand. But if you lose those games, you only have a 2-point lead over Vegas and a 5-point lead over LA and Edmonton. So those makeup games, if you're losing them, it's keeping it close. So, but again, they're 9-1 in their last 10. Again, 9-game win streak, nothing. Looking at their schedule here. Yeah.
They're playing right now.
Yeah, tied 1-1 against the Jets. End of the second, I see that. Yeah, and then to end the month, Canucks Wild. Again, Canucks, kind of their chance to show they're still in it. And the Wild, of course, they've been playing great lately.
And Carolina currently going through the ringer. They're struggling. So my Flyers got them tied, 3 minutes left.
Yeah, I see that. It's crazy. I saw with the couple, the Avalanche Bruins, they're already done. It was like, was it 11:30 or something they started this morning? I feel like
I think so.
They started some early games.
Yeah, because they got to make them up.
Make them up, yeah. But yeah, again, kind of at that 2/3 way point through the season now. Again, as we're talking about the standings. In the East, pretty much a wrap. There's maybe 1 or 2 teams that, if they go on a really impressive run, could make some noise for a wild card spot. But yeah, the West is going to be kind of, I guess, the focal point to the finish, because that's where there's going to be a lot of shifting, some teams hanging on, some teams making a push to try to steal a spot, all that good stuff. So that'll be fun.
Yeah, about a 30-game sprint to the finish here. It's going to be intense, especially with the trade deadline coming up here shortly. It's going to be interesting to see if teams make any moves, try to bring some veterans in to give them that boost, as that's kind of the motto in the NHL, bringing in a vet that has playoff experience to help boost your lineup. But, yeah, things are going to get interesting here down the stretch. And, yeah, I'm going to be excited to keep our eyes on it. And then thanks everyone for stopping in today and checking out today's episode of Offsides. Just to let everyone know, we do plan on moving to a different platform called Grassroots. We'll keep you guys filled in on the details of that. But keep checking in on YouTube. We'll be back tomorrow.